Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Central Depository Services (India) Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Agarwal from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Rehan. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this earnings call of CDSL. We have the entire management team of CDSL with us, led by Mr. Nehal Vora, MD and CEO. We'll start with a brief on the results from Mr. Nehal, and then we'll move on to Q&A. Over to you, sir, for the opening remarks, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Praveen. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. I hope each of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today to discuss CDSL's financial results for the fourth quarter and full year financial year ended March 31st, 2023. As in the previous quarters, we've posted a detailed financial presentation on our website for your reference. I'm joined by the CDSL Group's leadership team. Let me start with the industry highlights and then take you through some of the key aspects of our performance. To begin, let me highlight that the industry trends and then discuss some of our key performance aspects. During the financial year 2023, the capital market industry experienced a mixed performance. While certain sections continued to show a growth momentum, retail market participation remained muted as compared to the financial year 2022. The business environment in the Q4 was similar to the full year trends described above. In addition to these industry developments, several new regulations were introduced during the year. We believe that these regulations will benefit the industry in the medium term as they aim to protect the interests of the retail investors as well as the investors at large and reduce the systemic risk. Overall, we view these regulatory measures as positive for the industry's long-term growth. This quarter, India further strengthened its retail participation in Indian capital markets. The total number of Demat account investors in India touched a new milestone of more than 11.3 crore in quarter four of FY 2023, of which 8.3 crore Demat account investors are registered with CDSL. The registered investors as on March 31st, 2022, was 6.3 crore, which shows an increase of 32% over the last year. We are harnessing the benefits of the digital innovation and the presence carved out across years, especially in the Tier 2 and the Tier 3 cities. The availability of digital services such as EDIS, margin pledge and repledge mechanism, eAGM and e-voting, and online account opening has had a significant impact on the growth of Indian retail investors. However, this is just the beginning, and our primary goal is to continuously enhance the financial ecosystem by making it more efficient and transparent. In terms of the performance, our strategy focuses on accelerating the core annuity income, simplifying the process of emerging investors, and fostering new developments in the Indian securities market. CDSL is committed to growing its business sustainably by diversifying its revenue, investing in advanced technology, and cultivating its people. As we celebrate our 25th year of operations, our focus remains on improving the financial ecosystem by enhancing its efficiency and transparency. We would like to prioritize and focus our Atmanirbhar Niveshak approach while striving for innovation, resulting in consistent and a healthy financial performance. We are dedicated in curating a secure financial ecosystem and providing a differentiated experiences that create value to our investors and stakeholders. Before I hand it over to Shri Girish Amesara, Chief Financial Officer. I'd like to say that the growth of the Indian securities market is an extremely encouraging sign of India's potential. I also want to place our appreciation and gratitude to all our stakeholders, our regulators, depository participants, investors, issuers, and other market participants and employees for their constant faith in us. With this, I would like to hand it over to our CFO, Shri Girish Amesara.
Thank you, Nehal. Good afternoon to everyone. Speaking on yearly performance, total standalone income has increased by 13% for the year ended March 31st, 23 at rupees 544 crore as compared to 480 crore for the previous year. The net profit on a standalone basis is up by 3% to 272 crores as compared to 264 crore during previous year. On a consolidated basis, the total income has increased by 15 crore to 620 crore for the year ended March 31st, 23, as compared to 606 crore for the previous year. The net profit on a consolidated basis is down by 11% to 276 crores as compared to 312 crores. Speaking on quarterly performance, the standalone total income for the March 23 quarter has increased by 3% to 112 crore as against same quarter previous year of 109 crores. The standalone net profit on a quarterly basis for the March quarter is at 52 crore as against rupees 58 crore for the previous year same quarter. On a consolidated basis, the total income for the March quarter has decreased by 3% to 144 crore as against 148 crore for the same quarter previous year. The consolidated net profit on a consolidated basis is at rupees 64 crore for the March quarter 23 as against 78 crore for the same quarter previous year. Now I shall request Sri Sunil Alvarez to give an update about the operations of the wholly owned subsidiary CDSL Ventures Limited. Thank you. Over to you, Sunil.
I would request that in case, you know, I think the numbers are already shared, so that in case there are, we can start off with the Q&A session directly.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anvit Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Couple of questions from my end. You know, if I look at CDSL Ventures, we've seen a revenue degrowth for almost, you know, all quarters during the year. So, you know, can you explain what is happening at a time when, you know, SIP flows are strong, new demat accounts are strong? So is there pricing pressure? Is there, you know, some change in the business model? Is it competition? What is leading to this fall in revenues?
So you want to finish both your questions?
Sure. And, you know, of the employee cost, we've seen, you know, a 60% increase in 23. So if you can share, you know, the fixed or variable nature of this to understand, you know, how would this move forward on a going forward basis? And lastly, what is the CAPEX and technology spends done in 23? These were my three questions.
Okay. First one, I'll ask Sunil to answer, and the remaining two, I'll ask the CFO, Girish, to answer.
Sure. If you see the KYC business, okay, there are two major sources of income. One is the creation side and the second is on the Fed side. Now, the KYC business a lot depends on the state of the primary as well as the secondary markets. Okay, if you see last year, the number of IPOs reduced substantially as compared to the previous year. Okay, so it had an impact on the number of new accounts being opened, that is DMAT accounts and broking accounts. So if you see overall stats, I think around the DMAT accounts was impacted by, you know, about 35%. So to that extent, I would disagree with you that though the monies were coming in SIPs, but those were accounts which were already opened and COVID KYC is already done. So to that extent, the KYC part would have not got impacted. But so far as new accounts are concerned, yes, definitely it has got impacted because the number of broking and DMAT accounts has,
Well, we are saying the pace has slowed down, Sunil. What you are saying is if they were growing at X percent.
What I'm saying is if the DMAT accounts have gone down by about 30-35%, then the broking, the KYC also has got impacted by about 25-35%. So it goes hand in hand. So you can't have more KYCs and less DMAT accounts opening, you know. So it's directly a function of the DMAT accounts or the broking accounts which are open. So that has impacted the number of KYCs and that has impacted the overall revenue.
Okay. And you know, this fetch thing, because incrementally you're saying the flows are coming in the same folios in mutual fund and folio addition is not so strong. So the fetch business also gets affected?
Absolutely, because we charge only a one-time on the fetch side. So once a record is fetched, it is free for the lifetime. So even if you're doing an SIP, then even if you fetch it, say, 12 times a year or 24 times a year, I have already charged you once and that is the end of it.
Okay. So there is no real pricing change or competitive intensity which is leading to this fall. It is just
there are pricing pressures on the creation side because so long as there is competition, they will try to fool your customers by offering lower charges. So that's a part of market competition. So that will go on anyway.
Okay.
So in terms of employee cost, if you look at historically, CDSL's employee cost was in single digit if you compare previous year's expenditure to total revenue. And now it was 8% last year. This year it is 13%. If you recall, previous two years were, you know, high growth years and our operations has almost increased compared to what it was prior to 2 years. And in terms of that, we had plans to increase manpower base. So current year we have net basis, there is an increase in the employee strength of roughly 35 people. And typically, if you look at the SEBI regulations also, the bonus is 1/3 of fixed cost. So basically that's how the categorization or the combination works. So
right.
This is a net addition of 33 employees during this quarter.
And
this
to add to what Girish said, the regulations don't allow any ESOPs to be granted. So obviously to retain talent, you need to kind of appropriately compensate them to get the best of people and to retain them. Compared to our comparison of employee costs as a percentage of revenue to other market infrastructure institutions, we are one of the lowest. So I think that continues even after this, but we need to continue to retain talent to ensure that we get the best in class as a part of our structure.
Sure.
And Girish, you mentioned, you know, employee cost. I think if I look at consolidated, they are almost 15% of sales. So is it some operating deleverage because, you know, subsidiaries have not grown? So that is why also on a consolidated basis, it looks higher than the standalone basis. Is that right?
I gave you the details of consolidated basis. We always speak on consolidated basis.
But on a 555 crore revenue, employee cost were 80 crore. So that's 15%, not 12 or 13%, which I think you mentioned.
No. See, turnover on a consolidated basis is 620 crore.
Okay, I think you are adding other income. I'm just taking income from operations. Maybe that's
when
why.
When I am comparing, I will always compare with total revenue. I will not compare it with operating revenue. No?
Okay. Understood. And on the last question on the CapEx side, if you could give some idea. What has been the CapEx trend in 23?
The CapEx expenditure that we have incurred is in line with the implementation strategy that we had implemented, and it is also driven by the regulator. We had
I'll just take that question. I think it's driven more with the new age regulatory reforms which we are bringing into place, whether it's the authorization happens at the depository and directly with a customer, and also bringing in sync with new hardware servers and the new tech infrastructure. As our volumes are growing, it has to kind of be in sync with that, the new age technology. And also, as our people are growing, we need more space. So this is the two broad areas in which we are going to be spending money in a cap.
Right. And if you would quantify that amount, what we've spent in 23?
I will come back on that during the call.
Sure. I'll join back if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, 3-4 questions from my side. Firstly, on the employee expense, the discussion just happened. So, wanted to understand that this bonus cost that you have mentioned, which is around about a third of the fixed cost. So, is this going to, is this prorated or provisioned over the years, over the four quarters, or will it come in disproportionately in the first quarter? Because I think last year, first quarter also, there seemed to be a bump in the employee expense. So, that is the first question. Secondly, I wanted to understand, so in the KYC business, what proportion of it will be coming from the DMAT account opening, and what proportion will be coming from KYC for other financial products? Thirdly, if I were to understand, if I had to make some color on, how would be the number of folios that you have, say at the end of FY23, or an average of over FY23 vis-a-vis what it was over 22 in the DMAT accounts, just to have an understanding of how the annual issuer charges could move. Not looking for a forward-looking statement, but since the year is over, you must already be having the details about number of folios that you have. So some ballpark number about growth will also do. That is the third question. And tech expenses, then are we kind of hitting the peak, or should we see kind of continued increase here also?
I'll answer the first and fourth question first. On the employee cost, last year it was done in one quarter, additional bonus which the board had recommended. This year it is each quarter wise, it has been prorated. So that will how it is done. On the tech cost, it is a constant, because see, we are in the business of providing infrastructure, and technology is the key driving force and the key basically differentiator. So, and technology is something which needs to continuously evolve as we move forward. So based on that, this will be a process which we will continuously kind of assess and see as and when it's required, we will be putting in. In place, there is an entire really structure in place before we kind of go into play, but there will be continuous focus on ensuring that our technology is really up to speed with the latest, and so that the ease of doing business as well as basically the efficiencies of business continue to remain with CDSL. I'll ask the second question on the KYC. I don't think we give that details between the mutual fund folios as well as that, because it's kind of a consolidated number and it's kind of basically difficult because there could be a single investor doing both in terms of very direct equity and mutual funds. As regards the folio, I'll ask the CFO what has been the increase over the last year as compared to this year. It's part of the presentation, but I think he'll just pull it out and.
So the number of folio, the previous year it was 7.68 crore, and this year it is 13.72 crore. I am saying 21-22 compared to 22-23.
Okay, and sir, this growth, is it fair to understand that if I only were to look at the listed corporates, this growth would be fairly similar what we have seen vis-a-vis 2020?
No, no, this is kind of a combination of both listed as well as unlisted space. So this will continue to embark upon as we move forward. Maybe listed space are new kind of investors, and yeah. Unlisted space, the companies are coming into the fold.
But in terms of overall, say the share, would listed, so number of folios in the listed space dominate the number, the you know number of folios in the unlisted part of the companies?
Folios obviously would dominate in the listed space because. The number of investors by its very definition is has to be more than 250. In a unlisted, it's lower than 250 in investors. So obviously by that very definition, the domination would be in the listed space.
Sure, sir. So just again, a quick follow-up on the KYC numbers. I understand that you don't give a broad detail, but it would be would it be fair to, I mean, some kind of ballpark, say 80% or 90% coming from DMAT, so that we can understand and think.
It will be kind of difficult to assess because there are a lot of common ones which could be across both the asset classes. So it will be difficult to come to a ballpark number on that.
Yeah, can I take that question? See, what happens is when somebody fetches, we only tag that intermediary. Now that intermediary may be opening it, at, you know, fetching it for a DMAT account. Or for a broking account, or for, you know, what to say, the investors having some mutual fund investment, we only have a tag of the intermediary. So it's very difficult for us to figure out, you know, for what particular purpose the KYC has been fetched.
Got it, sir. Very helpful. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Senthil Kumar from John Drake Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. I could see what capital work in progress of rupees 173 crores. Can you please elaborate on that? What kind of investment is it?
Yeah, so I'll ask the CFO to answer that.
So last year we have purchased two floors at the Marathon Futurex building. That represents the capital work in progress.
The whole 173 crores, am I right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And my second question is on insurance repository business. Where are we when compared to the last year? Even though in the last conference call, the management said like, you know, we are in the early stage of implementation. So any strategies to improve, gain market share in that?
Yeah, so there is a move towards, we have already recruited a professional MD and CEO. He's in the process of joining, and there will be a management team which will get created. But however, the regulatory changes are also at the cusp of change. It's yet on a voluntary basis. It's yet not been converted into a mandatory basis. But there is definitely a value proposition both from an investor as well as from an insurance company point of view. So as the market evolves and matures, they will understand the key benefits to it, and that will move towards that. Also, the regulator is also looking at it very closely and is going to come out with the necessary policy formulations as soon as they feel it is required.
Any timeline for that? When can we expect?
I can't predict how that regulator will come out with the policy formulation. So we are in constant touch. Whatever inputs they need, we are giving them. But that is up to them to finalize when they will come out.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Karthik Chalappa from Indus Capital Advisors, Hong Kong Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. I have three questions. The first one is, despite the strong growth in our depository accounts, the revenue growth still seems to be challenged, especially on the transaction charges side. Apart from lower retail participation, which you alluded to at the beginning of the call, are there any other factors at play which is impacting revenue growth?
Yeah, so it's basically the delivery volumes of the exchanges which drive the market base in transactions. And over the last financial year, there has been a reduction at about 33% of the delivery-based volumes on the exchanges. And that kind of explains the reduced charges or the revenue for the depository, because it's only when it culminates into a delivery that is when the charges are paid to us as a depository.
Got it. So apart from that, there is really no rate reduction or any sort of competitive pressures which are at play which is causing this. It's just purely volume driven?
Yeah, it's purely volume driven. Exactly.
Okay, excellent. So the second question is on the technology spends, which you alluded to, where you are saying you are continuously, you need to assess the volume and the requirement and enhance the spends. If you were to bifurcate the spends between those which are directly related to higher volumes versus a different kind of technology, what would that split be if you were to do that for your total spends?
So we kind of, we have already created that framework which makes the infrastructure really scalable, and it is done with the exponential growth which we've seen in the number of DMAT accounts over the last 2 to 3 years. So from that end, spend is more or less done, but however there is a constant assessment done in bringing in value proposition more at really the application stage on how basically the transactions are getting really processed, so that really the throughput time comes down, it can handle scale. So there is a complex web of various kind of technological basically inputs which are put into place, which kind of really assess that where we need to spend on the application side or on the hardware side, depending, so that the basically the stakeholders will continue to enjoy ease of doing business and a value proposition with remaining with CDSL.
Or to ask it in a different way, if I just look at the fourth quarter exit number of about 10 to 11 crore of computer related OPEX, would annualizing that be more or less in line with, let's say, what you're thinking, subject to volume changes?
Future, it will be difficult for me to predict that. But I can assure you that there is a very robust process of spend which is done in terms of what is absolutely essential is getting spent. And there is a framework. As a company, we don't give future kind of guidance. So I'll have to kind of not be able to answer that question.
Got it. Last question, sir, is you mentioned that you have now reached about 83 million accounts out of, let's say, about 113 million, which implies a market share of somewhere close to 72-73%.
Yeah.
Which means on an incremental market share basis, it's even higher. Would it be fair to say that with growth more or less moderating or normalizing, the market shares have more or less peaked for you?
Difficult to again say about the future, because 3 years ago we were at 46%, and at that time also somebody could have said that this is kind of an optimum level at which both the market will function. But there has been a surge which has happened. So again, market is really a dynamic place. Difficult to really predict whether you've reached or not. My intent is, and I think overall the ecosystem is about 6-7% of the population is only yet in the securities market. So the market at large is has a huge potential to grow. Whether that growth happens in the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, that is for something which we will have to see. but there is a potential, and I am not looking at what is the current trend. It's more of the potential which is yet not come into the market. India is a young population, and we are adding youngsters and large middle class into our population every year. There is a huge potential which is there.
Just one follow-up, sir, based on the response that you gave. If you were to look at unique accounts at a household level, what will it be on a household penetration level?
That again will be a little difficult to answer, because people have sometimes have more than one account also, which is permissible under the law. And sometimes they are in basically they are in joint holder with the family member. So again, each household is depending on how many people are there also. So it's difficult to really assess how much would be the penetration from a household level. But I can say that today CDSL is about 98% of the PIN codes of the country where the DMAT accounts is there. So there's a fairly comprehensive spread in where the CDSL DMAT accounts are there.
Got it. That's all from my side, sir. Wish you and the team all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prithvish Uppal from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so hi, thank you for taking my question. The first question I had was just a follow-up on the transaction income that we report. So again, for this quarter, we've seen that, you know, per DMAT account realization has, you know, it was roughly averaging close to about 24 rupees and has gone down substantially. So, I mean, I understand one reason you mentioned is the fact that there has been lower there's been lower retail market participation, but despite, you know, a higher increment in terms, you know, especially in this quarter, in incremental DMAT accounts, is it fair to assess that the amount of per DMAT account transactions has also reduced substantially? And do we expect, number to sort of be the kind of new normal? Because last 2 years, the per account, number of transactions would have obviously peaked for us. So have you seen that this has come back to sort of pre-COVID levels? So that would be my first question. Second question is in terms of the uses of cash, apart from the investments that we make and the dividend that we've been declaring, any other, cash uses that you see in terms of, from a growth perspective, any color on that that you could give? And third, it's been talked about on previous calls, which is the pricing, on issuer charges from 11 rupees. So, any discussion from with the regulator where this is, how the conversation is. So just these are my three questions.
On the first one, it's not only, as I said in my earlier reply to an earlier question, it's the delivery-based volumes. If you see, the delivery-based volumes has seen a reduction of about 31% over the last year. And that is really the key reason. Whether we have reached a peak or not is very difficult to assess, because it's your market functions as to what is the volumes which are going to, it's very difficult to predict volumes in the coming years. And therefore, the important thing is create the right toolkits, right value propositions, so that it is there to support any market as we move forward. Your second question was, I'm sorry, could you repeat your second question?
Yeah, so it was to do with, the operating cash flow that we are generating.
Yeah.
So,
operating cash flow is, we are finally an infrastructure company. So the strength of the balance sheet becomes very critical as more and more assets and more DMAT accounts are added to your fold. It kind of gives that comfort factor. There are areas of growth both in the securities markets and in the other markets where we have our subsidiaries, there is a constant endeavor as India embarks upon its journey of digitization. More and more products and platforms are going to come into core, which will require that kind of investment both in terms of systems, technology and people to ensure that we are kind of basically in sync with what the reforms are getting in this. Also, we have just added our basically the account aggregator model, where we have gone live as a financial information provider. That's a new line of business which CDSL has recently, and it's the first depository to go live. So that's one. Second is also the other sectors like the commodities repository and the insurance sector. So this is something which we continuously kind of would need to assess as we move forward. And we have had a consistent dividend payout which has been consistent over the years. It's 60% of about 60% of the operating profit, which gets of basically the net profit which gets paid out as dividend.
Yeah, and so just on the last question about the pricing.
That will be difficult to comment because normally we don't disclose the SEBI conversations. It's kind of confidential. But that's the kind of process which we will follow. And if we, as and when in whichever form it gets approved, that will get promptly communicated to the market.
And so just lastly, just a data keeping question, you mentioned the folio number to an earlier participant. So just missed the number. So can you just, if you could just repeat that, please?
It's part of the presentation. It is uploaded on our website. It'll become easier. We can repeat it, but I think it'll be easier for you to just look at that.
In financial year 21-22, we had a folio count of 7 crore 68 lakhs, and for financial year 22-23, we had a count of 13.72 crore.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So I just wanted to know, recently you came out and you mentioned in your previous statement about the account aggregator model. Can you explain in detail how do you plan to go ahead and how does it benefit CDSL?
No, so the account aggregator model is where basically the information flow from various sectors, be it banking, insurance, securities market, can be accessed based on client consent and given to a information user who can curate the data and give it to him in a structured format. And there are various components which are expected to be added to it, be it basically income tax, GST, etc. So it's a common information flow framework, which is client consent based, and that's where we are part of the larger ecosystem.
And does it have a asset, does this data monetizable, or how does it help us in the future?
It's kind of really early days as to how the commercials will get factored in, but there will be some amount of commercials which will come in at some stage.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Setia from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So in our last call, you had mentioned some numbers about CDSL Ventures, their financials, the creations, the fetches. So if you could just help me with those numbers for Q4 or FY.
So total income, annual issuer income that we have clocked during this financial year is 183 crore as against previous year income of 115.
CVL.
So, in case of CVL, we have clocked the income of 87 crore during this financial year as compared to 120 crore of previous financial year.
And the profitability?
It's actually all there on our website. You may actually look at it.
We have put all the numbers on the presentation also.
The presentation, I don't think there are these numbers in the presentation. Neither creation nor fixes. I've been looking at the presentation. So
yeah, in terms of presentation, we have
creation fetch. Normally, you know, we just give as a broad trend. Finally, it has to culminate into revenue, and that is more critical. So from again a financial disclosure point of view, we are more focused on how it culminates into basically the revenue. So I think that would be a fair reply to your question.
Okay, and so the other components of other income like e-cash, e-voting, if you could give out the number of those.
I will still repeat. You want on quarterly basis or you want the full year?
Anything would do.
Okay, so on a quarterly basis, we have closed transaction charge at 33 crore. Online data charge, which is CVL income, at 22 crore. IPO corporate action at 7 crore. Annual issuer income at 47 crore. Cash and e-voting put together at 9 crore. This constitute almost 96% of our total operating revenue.
Okay, and the pledge income?
I don't think we give that pledge income separately, right? It's part of the transaction income.
Okay, okay. And just wanted to understand about your outlook, like going forward. Like, are we completely dependent on the growth in the retail participation, or like how are we planning to grow our business, and will it be purely volume driven going forward, or are we looking into other avenues as well? So yeah, what's the outlook like?
I think again, future outlook we don't give as a policy, but I can just give
you in terms of numbers, but just a strategic
I'll tell you, it's important that we are going to continue to invest in technology, because the entire digital journey is something which is going to grow as we move forward. And CDSL is going to be at the forefront of that journey, both from an ease of doing business, from an investor protection point of view, making investors self-sufficient, so giving more to the investors to take decisions themselves. That's going to be our cornerstone of our entire focus. Obviously, we will be kind of part of the market infrastructure institutional framework which SEBI has prescribed. So that is something which we'll continue to really embark upon. And as more and more new policies, products and platforms get permitted by SEBI, CDSL would be as a part of that framework.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sanket Koda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just two data points. If you can give doubtful provisioning cost in the current quarter. And second, just wanted to understand that corporate action income is seasonally weak in the fourth quarter. Is that a fair assumption to make, sir?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second question first, and I'll ask the first question to be answered with the CFO. Normally, the AGMs technically occur in the second and third quarter. It means if it gets extended, otherwise it's the first and second quarter. So it is kind of connected with the AGMs. So it's a kind of a broad trend that you see major income happening in the first, second. And when it gets extended, like it has been done in the past 2 years, to the third quarter also. I'll request Girish to answer the first question.
In terms of latest provision, there is a reversal of 2 crore 40 lakhs.
Okay, sir. And two questions with respect to the business, sir. KYC for insurance companies, especially the general insurance companies, was made mandatory from January 2023, and just wanted to understand that this revenue is somehow flowing to the our insurance repository business if we are doing the KYC for the insurance companies, or is it done through CKYC predominantly, and therefore we are not accreting any revenue with respect to KYC on insurance, which has been made mandatory from 23.
No, there was a draft circular which was proposing to make it mandatory. It has not converted itself into a final circular. So it yet remains in a draft stage. So as of now, it is not mandatory. It is optional.
Sir, conversion into a DMAT format is voluntary yet, but KYC has been made mandatory from 1st January, sir. So just wondering that KYC income flow is somehow getting reflected in our insurance repository income or not.
Sir, this KYC that you are talking about is for the policy, for the creation of the policy, for the existing policy, which is handled by the insurance companies themselves. Because bulk of the policy is stored in the physical form. So this doesn't come to the depository space in terms of our group company CVL, for the reason that it is part CIR or CVL, because it is in the physical form. So this KYC is done by the insurance companies internal.
Okay, so you mean to say that when it becomes when the depository or demat format becomes a reality, compulsory, not voluntary, then you have two revenue sources. One is KYC income probably, and second is the charges with respect to the repository income, right?
Demat format. That is normally how this business works. So there is both sides business which is potentially expected to flow, but it depends as and when it is made mandatory.
Got it. And sir, next, second, last one from my side is that this account aggregator FIP, what are the charges we are going to charge for FIP as a financial information provider? And finally, do we want to get into TSP, that is technology service provider thing, or we just wanted to remain a pipe providing a financial information to the guys who ask for it?
So the commercials, as I said earlier, it's early days. It's yet not yet finalized. It's in the process of first really establishing the framework, and then the commercials will kind of follow. So that is for us to wait and watch in the future. CDSL will continuously assess which part of the account aggregator model. The FIP was mandated by the regulator, and we are kind of the first depository which have done it. Whether we are part of the account aggregator model and the FIU, that the financial information user model, is something which we will have to really assess as the system really grows and matures.
Okay, sir. Perfect. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sujal Azare, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, my first question was that the IRDAI mandated the dematerialization of new insurance policy. I guess that you have answered in previous questions.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue. I just wanted, I'm a naive investor, so I just wanted to ask you, what are the key revenue drivers in your company of CDSL?
Okay. So basically, there are three principal revenue drivers. One will be for DMAT accounts, the transaction revenue. So every debit is charged by the depositories. So that's a revenue charge. Second is the companies which are dematerialized or whose shares are dematerialized pay us an annual fee. So that's the second charge. And the third is the Know Your Customer. There's a repository in which our subsidiary CDSL Ventures is there. So that's the third source, that for every creation of a Know Your Customer or a fetch by anybody in the system, there's a charge which CVL gets. So these are the three principal charges. Besides that, there is for the annual general meetings. We conduct it through online mode, so we charge companies for that, the value add service. There is a e-voting platform which we have, so that is the other area where we charge. So these are principally the broad areas of revenue for CDSL.
So which is the most revenue gaining like factor of all of this which you stated?
So I would recommend, you know, there is a fairly easy to comprehend presentation on our website, which will give you not only what is the comparison, how has the growth been over the years. It's a fairly pictorially represented presentation. It'll be easy for you to understand. If you have any follow-on questions, feel free to email us. We will give you a reply.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anvit Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, if that capex figure is available, I just wanted to know that.
So on a consolidated basis, we have capitalized 35 crore as an capital expenditure. On a standalone basis, we have capitalized 22.5 crore.
Thanks, Girish.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1. Our next question comes from the line of Vinita Sagar from Infosys. Please go ahead. Since there is no response, we move on to our next question, which is from the line of Rajesh Gajra from Infomis. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. My question is with regard to the Q4 transaction charges trend in that. You mentioned that it is based on the debits that take place and it's linked to the delivery volume, obviously. So I wanted to understand two things from this. One is key, what was the trend in the delivery volume in Q4 versus the year ago quarter? And secondly, I wanted to understand if the per debit charges that are applied, is it based on the value of the trade, which is where the debit is taking place, or is it based on per debit that is going on a fixed charge, or is it based on the number of shares that are getting debited? So just wanted a clear understanding of this.
Sure.
Thank you.
So the first question is, there's a 31% reduction in the year-on-year delivery volume across exchanges over the previous financial year and as compared to this financial year ended. So that gives you an overall trend that why there has been a lower transaction revenue. The second question is that we charge on a per debit basis. However, it's basically a slab-wise approach. So a person who is a frequent user of the system has to pay a per debit lower charge compared to a infrequent user of a system. So it ranges from 5.50 rupees per debit to 4.25 paise per debit, depending on the number of transactions which you are doing. It is not linked to the number of shares or the value of the number of shares. It is per debit instruction where the charges are done.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanket Gora from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, in the past, you have disclosed the annual issuer charges broken down into listed and unlisted. And similarly, you used to give the pledge margin income or pledge income in the transaction. It will be great if you can share this time too.
The first one, we never used to do it, listed and unlisted. I think pledge is what the CFO tells me that they do disclose. So
this quarter, we have done an income of 3 crore.
Okay, sir. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nehal Vora for closing comments.
No, I would like to thank you for all your questions and continue to remain safe and secure. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.